It's Sunday morning. Time for Your Money and You, sponsored by Heffron Tillotson, a Pittsburgh-based full-service brokerage and investment advisory firm with offices in downtown Pittsburgh, Butler, North Hills, South Hills, and Greensburg. Member of FINRA and SIPC, now celebrating 70 years of meticulous wealth management. This program is intended to help you keep up to date on matters that affect your savings, investments, taxes, real estate, or anything else related to your money. Interaction with callers of the program must not be construed as a broker-customer relationship.
My name is Belinda Slagenhop. I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and senior vice president with Heffron Tillotson in the Wexford office. It is my pleasure to introduce that familiar Sunday voice, Jim Meredith. Over the next 2 hours, Jim is here to answer your questions. Jim is a certified public accountant, an accredited personal financial specialist, executive vice president with Heffron Tillotson, and is currently ranked among Barron's top 100 financial advisors in the United States. Both Jim, I, and all advisors at Heffron Tillotson specialize in investments and financial planning.
Well, good morning and welcome back. The average S&P stock is now sitting on its 200-day moving average. Investor surveys are reporting more bears than bulls, while the equally weighted S&P is near a relative high versus the cap-weighted S&P. The recent tally of 8 9-to-1 down days generally indicates the formation of a floor. You need to know that companies must suspend buyback programs in the weeks before their earnings announcements, and they will resume thereafter. For this week, the Dow added 427 points, or 1.8%, to close at 24,360. The S&P gained 2%, and the NASDAQ was up by 2.8%. Trading volume fell, but sentiment rose, with winners beating losers by 3-2. The Employment Trend Index grew the most since January of 15. The OECD leading indicators rose the most since July of 15. Small business optimism eased, but its first quarter average remains near its highest level since 1984. The Philly Fed indexes showed all 50 states are projected to expand over the next 6 months. The producer price index rose 3%. That's the most since January of 12. The core was up by 2.7%, the most since September of 11. Consumer prices increased 2.4%. The core by 2.1. That was the most since February of 17. Import prices were up by 3.6% due to a weaker dollar. Export prices were up by 3.4%. That's the most since December of 11. Wholesale inventories grew the most since October of 13, but sales growth matched the rise in inventories. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index rose to its highest level since February of 01, and the Consumer Sentiment Index 3-month average hit its highest level since January of 01. The budget deficit was up by 13.8%, the highest level since May of 13, representing 3.8% of GDP. Job openings slipped but remain at one of the highest levels on record. The number of unemployed per job opening fell to a near record low. Next week, data will be released on retail sales, inventories, housing, industrial production, the Beige Book, leading indicators, and the Philly Fed surveys. The 10-year Treasury yield closed at 2.82%. That's up from 2.78% last Friday. Final comments before we go to the phone line, and I have tons of numbers and analysis here, and I'll try and summarize a lot of data. Number one, the CBO budget outlook was just ripped apart in the political pundits on TV reports, and it was described, their treatment of the outlook was described best as pitiful. Now, what happened was, and what the TV pundits overlooked, The tax cut is going to add $2.5 trillion of GDP growth over the next 5 years. And that growth was never accounted for in the static budget. And it's already reduced the deficit by about 30%. Now, in this CBO study, about 6% of tax cut savings will go to current employees, about 20% for job creation, and 57% is going to be returned to shareholders. Due to the tax cut impact on first quarter earnings, the market is now 7% cheaper than it was on January 1st, just on an earnings basis. Now, the rolling 12-month forecast, earnings have the forecasted rate of earnings have grown by over 11%. That's the first best quarterly jump since 2009 when the recovery started. And the composite earnings for the first quarter are estimated to be about 18% higher than a year ago. Now, some of that is because of creative accounting in the fourth quarter to shift profits into 18, where the tax rates will be lower. But sales are up over 7%. Now, the forward price earnings ratio, and this is critical to understand, and this is at the S&P. At the end of the year, 2017, it was 18.6 times forecasted earnings. With the earnings adjustment, it has fallen to 16.4. So based on earnings, the value of stocks have fallen back to where they were in 2014. Now, historically, when there's a price earnings drop like this on the market, it's bad times. And this is good times, which is opposite of the historic occurrences. Now, when did it fall? Well, the 2010 Greek crisis, Lehman Brothers failure in 2008, the dot-com bust, the long-term capital market collapse, and the 87 stock market crash. All of those compressed earnings, the P.E. ratio, but what happened was that was bad news compressing versus good news expanding. Buybacks are on the upswing so far. Companies have announced $170 billion in buybacks, and M&A activity is up by 46%. CapEx, although it fell in 2017 due to the tax law timing, and it's going to be up in 2018. Now, I ran across this. Since 2013... 80% of the gains in the S&P 500 occurred during earnings seasons. And over that period of time, stocks have had a perfect streak of rising. Now, it ended in February due to the negative impacts of the news and what's going on in Washington. But the earnings forecast is very, very strong. Now, Bloomberg just did a released a study that outbursts of bearish activity in the news actually bodes well for the stock market. And since going back to 2010, where there's been an avalanche of pessimistic news, 2 months later, the S&P was up on average by 6%. Cash is king on corporate balance sheets. And dividend yield is not critical as much as the repurchase yield. And M&A activity, the analysis is buy it, don't build it. And we're going to see a lot of mergers. Now, 2017 had the lowest standard deviation in the market in the last 40 years. In that 40-year period of time, going back to the 1970s, we had market corrections of 10% in 22 of the 40 years, about 55% of the time. We also had four bear markets over the last 40 years, 1980, 87, 2000, and 2007. 9 of the individual corrections overlapped the bear markets, but in 4 of the correction years, we still had positive returns. Now, the average calendar year price performance of the market, price, not dividend, was 9.9% in cumulative gains. The median point was 12.35 in price alone. Now, this is in a period of time when the market had 22 corrections. And so what's happening is the probability is if you pick the year, go back in the history of the market, there's a 78% chance the market will be positive that year. In the first decade of this century, the cash outperformed stocks, so diversification is still critical. Now, next week, the SEC is going to be proposing a change in how brokerage firms work with their clients. And this is a response to the Department of Labor fiduciary standard. And the SEC plan will impose a new duty on brokers who advise retail customers on investments. Now, the regulation, the SEC is sitting on this. It hasn't been leaked or disclosed. That's all coming forward in a couple of days. Now, the proposal will include a new disclosure intended to shine more light on whether a financial advisor is a salesman or acting in a fiduciary responsibility with loyalty to the client. There is a difference between brokers and investment advisors, and these conflicts of interest are going to have to be spelled out in writing. And the brokerage firms have always had what's called a suitability standard. But the suitability standard allows brokers to sell higher cost products as long as they are suitable. So that what we're going to see is this Department of Labor issue went away in the Fifth Circuit the adverse decision. So we'll have to see what the administration is going to do. Now, monetary conditions have eased and real yields have dipped lower. And if you want to get a good forecast on the market, look at the tip yields, and that's going to be a good indicator of potential return on the bond market. Now, there's also a lot of tax news out this week, and I'll try and compress this. Number one, a lot of parents that we work with are paying a lot of money for their kids to go to college. And the IRS issued an adverse ruling. Many 401k plans allow a hardship withdrawal to pay for education costs. Now, what the there was a PLR that went in front of the IRS. And what happened was the taxpayer withdrew money from the 401k plan under the hardship provision, but he paid off his daughter's loans for college and didn't make a direct payment to the college. The IRS said that doesn't qualify for the hardship withdrawal, and he was hit with a premature penalty. If you're going to use the education withdrawal, it must be paid directly to the institution. Now, the second ruling from the IRS this week has to do with, and we've talked about this, and I'm going to try and not get overly technical, but in the old tax laws, we used to have credit shelter trusts. And so what's happening is a lot of these trusts are being decanted or modified under the new tax law. Now, what the IRS ruled that a trust being reformed, where the reallocation of beneficiary opportunities and generational skip, those consequences will not result in taxable gifts. So if you're going to rearrange and reform a trust and maybe waive spousal invasion rights, etc., transferring that right to another child will not be a taxable gift. And talk to you, if you have a trust in your family, make sure, and it is funded, you have to do with this. Now, there was a court case, a decision issued March 2nd of 2018, and it was Tony One Trust versus Wacker. And this is an Alaskan trust. There was a domestic asset protection trust known as a DAP. Now, in a DAP, you put your assets into the trust, and it's exempt from claims of creditors. However, the Alaska Supreme Court held that the law of the residence of the contributor to the trust, not Alaska law, entitles and limits the invasion of creditors. And so this trust was set up for the express purpose of not allowing creditors access to the wealth. And the Supreme Court held, the Alaskan Supreme Court held that the DAP didn't work. So if you have a DAP, talk to your lawyer. This is a huge, huge, huge adverse ruling. Alexander Pope was a philosopher in the 18th century. And Mr. Pope had a lot of one-line quotes. And one that rang true this period of time is, "A little learning is a dangerous thing." There was a survey out from the Association of American Colleges and Universities where over two-thirds of graduating students felt they were well-prepared to take on their job and proficient in writing skills. Less than a third of them were found to be that calibrated by their employer. And so what happened is it takes time to learn. Why bring this up? Well, less than 10% of the people managing money today have managed money in a rising interest rate market. So you want to make sure that a little knowledge by your advisor is not going to hurt you. And now we're going to go to our final two icons that may ride off into the sunset. Both of these icons predate the Civil War. The first is denim jeans. Now, both Ralph Lauren and Calvin Klein are trying to revise denim fashions for men this year. And the significance of that was last year, imports of elastic knit pants surpassed those of jeans for the first time in history. As we get older and would rather have some spandex give than the chase of denim. And the final icon that may go away next month, Necco wafers. Necco wafers have been around since 1847. They were introduced in widespread acceptance as a novelty by the Union soldiers in the Civil War. And American GIs in World War II took Necco wafers across the world. But the criticism is they kind of taste like drywall. And there is a short stroke. The company in New England, the New England Confectionery Company, said, "We're going out of business in May unless somebody buys us or buys the brand." So two icons may fade off into the sunset this year.
Very good, Jim. Lots of information there. And I know that we haven't actually had time to cover all of it. So hopefully we'll be able to get back to some of it after our break. But I do want to let our listeners know that we have a number of phone lines available. If you'd like to give us a call and pose a question here to Jim in the studio, that number is 866-391-1020. Again, that's 866-391-1020. And we also have two advisors standing by to take your questions off the air. Today we have Dave Alderson and Brent Ehrlich. And they can be reached by calling 412-434-0999. Again, we'll get to some of that information after the break and also get to our first bank of callers. We'll be back after this.
The following program is brought to you by Heffron Tillotson. It's Your Money and You, sponsored by Heffron Tillotson, celebrating over a quarter of a century of broadcasts exclusively on KDKA.
Welcome back to Heffron Tillotson's Your Money and You on News Radio 1020 KDKA. Again, the phone lines are open. The number here in the studio is 866-391-1020. Again, that's 866-391-1020. We do have a couple of lines available. And also, I'd like to mention we have two advisors standing by. If you'd like to pose a question to either of our advisors today about your own personal situation, today we have Dave Alderson and Brent Ehrlich, and they can be reached by calling 412-434-0999. And you can also email us your questions by logging on to kdkaradio.com and clicking on the Dollar Bank Instant Access link. Jim, let's get right to the phone lines. We have Doug this morning from Princeton. Doug, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm Doug Sittel, S-I-T-T-E-L on Google, calling from Trenton.
Okay.
He is consistent.
I wanted to raise something as well, Jim, and I know you've been talking about this for a number of weeks, about the shakeup to the indexes that we're going to see here effective September 28th. And I know you've been warning clients and listeners that the particularly the S&P 500 index may be overweighted in a number of these companies. So I know the Global Industry Classification Standard is proposing that they're restructuring the index on September 28th, and that's going to raise the effect of Amazon weight in the S&P from 27% in the consumer discretionary sector to 43%. So as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're implementing three new sectors within the S&P. One is going to be the new communication services sector, and Google actually will have 27.4% weighting in that sector. There's a new consumer discretionary sector, of which Amazon will have 26.9% weighting, and a new technology sector, of which Apple will have 19.7% weighting. So after these changes, the new communication services sector, which will replace the telecom sector, will have the highest concentration. These, if implemented today, these top five companies, Facebook, Google, AT&T, Verizon, and Comcast, would account for roughly 70% of that sector. So I know there are going to be some major changes coming on September 28th, and it's just something I know you've been warning folks to be on the lookout for.
Yeah, and an excellent summation on your part. What's going to happen is this. The backstory is on this, that in the last 3.5 to 4.5 years or so, there has been enormous money flow into index mutual funds. And the S&P 500 has been tough to beat. This year, not so. But when the Fed was pumping what I described as the equivalent of Novocaine into the economy, and the money flow into the S&P, because the markets are an auction, they went up. Now, what happened was, because of this, long-term portfolio management tools, correlations, covariances, volatility indicators, they're kind of washed aside. And the current opinion is it doesn't matter because the indexes always beat everybody. Not necessarily so. If you go back 9 years to the first decade of this century, the cumulative performance on a price basis for the first 10 years in this century was negative 1% for the S&P in 10 years. It lost 1% total return in the first 10 years because it was not supported by quantitative easing and money flow sponsored by the Fed. Now, what's going to happen is, particularly for the people that invest on the passive side of the street, this passive binging, as an example, in the Russell 1500, about 30% of those stocks have lost money in the last 3 years on a cumulative basis. But they've been up, bid up by about 30%. In the S&P, it's about 20% of the stocks that on an individual basis are not justifying their value metric. Now, when the indexes get reset, what's going to happen is you mentioned those five companies, the FANGs. And, you know, if anybody watched Mr. Zuckerberg in front of the Congress, they asked him, are you technology? Are you media? Are you a entertainment company? And he said, yes, we're all three. But what's going to happen is the enormity of the market value is going to unbalance things, long-term measures like correlations. And Amazon, in the one sector it will be in, the sector is going to be almost 75% positively correlated to the influence of one stock. Now, we're heading into a period of rising interest rates, not falling interest rates, and the Fed is not going to be accommodative in buying $80 billion of bonds a month. So what's going to happen without those metrics of influence on the market? The winners will pull away from the losers, and indexing will not have the money flow advantage. So with this reset on the indexes, if you're in the ETF side of the street, you have to be very, very careful. Now, what the other thing that has not yet been determined is the income tax consequences of the reshuffling of these indexes, because the reshuffling is going to be a transaction. So, and you mentioned the communications index, there's going to be stocks that are dumped from that index. They're going to be sold. And if that index has a gain and you may have significant adverse income tax consequences coming in September when these indexes get reset. And there have been no opinions issued yet as to the tax consequences of the rebalancing of these indexes, but it's one more thing to take a look at. And there have been no tax opinions released yet. So there is unintended consequences of chasing yesterday's heroes in this period in the market. This is a huge event, and September is not that far away. And, you know, well, 4 or 5 months in the market is nothing, and it's too short of a time to determine success or failure. But be very, very careful going forward from here on the passive versus active investing.
Very good, Jim. Just something I'm sure you're going to be following in the months to come.
Right. We all have to.
Let's go now to the phones. We have Tony from Meadville. Tony, good morning.
Are you there, Tony?
I'm from Bridgeville.
Oh, okay.
I have a question on what your opinion is on REITs, real estate investment trust, and especially the healthcare REITs.
The REITs right now have not done well, and real estate is probably the lowest performing anticipation of earnings growth. Earnings growth this year in the REIT sector is expected to be about 3%, which is at the very bottom of the sector increased earnings expectations. Now, we have REITs in our advisory program, but we're invested in non-U.S. REITs that have done very, very well in relationship to their domestic competitors. And we utilize a Vanguard fund that invests in the non-U.S. REITs. Jonathan Bernstein, one of our wizards in our IA program, did the background on that. The issue you have in the healthcare sector is with the counting influence of both Amazon and Walmart coming in, there's going to be a period of cost containment in healthcare. And the healthcare REITs generally have very high cash flow, but low total returns. And I think you could do better on a total return basis and maybe some diversified stocks, a little bit lower yield. But if you came to me and said, you know, would, if you were my client and say, gee, I'd like to invest in this healthcare REIT, I would attempt to discourage you. I think if you want to look at return opportunities on yield, take a look at some of the big energy companies. Oil is now in balance, and some of the big giants have pretty good rates of return. Their yields are lower than the rates, but the total return opportunity is going to be a whole lot higher. Is that helping you at all?
It sure does, and I appreciate it. I love your program. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's Your Money and You, sponsored by Heffron Tillotson, celebrating over a quarter of a century of broadcast exclusively on KDKA.
Welcome back to Heffron Tillotson, Your Money and You on News Radio 1020 KDKA. The phone lines here in the studio, the number is 866-391-1020. Again, that's 866-391-1020. And we do have a couple of lines available if you'd like to give us a call and pose a question to Jim. And with that, Jim, let's get right to the phones. We have Jim from Pittsburgh. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Jim, I was wondering if you would comment on the AT&T and Time Warner deal and would now be a good time to add to the position or just avoid it?
It appears that the government case, from what I'm reading about it, is not going well. And, on a betting basis, the odds are the deal right now looks like it's going to go through. They may have to spin something off. On the Time Warner side, I don't know what, but the commentaries I've been reading about and that the government case is being peeled apart by the judge. What you have to take a look at is what are they going to have when they're done? And they're going to have a media company and a cell phone company. And the only way AT&T gets a new customer is to steal one from Verizon. And so what you're also taking a look at, there's been a long debate in these kinds of companies, content versus conduit. Now, Time Warner is not a big generator of content. But if you think about it, I don't know, how many hours do you spend on a computer screen versus a TV screen? What's that ratio? And not you, but you, the average person. Broadcast media is, it's under an evolutionary time frame to consumption on demand, discretionary consumption. So in Time Warner, the CNN and all those things, they have so many outlets, they're diluting each other impact. The entertainment spectrum, if I was looking at entertainment right now, it's tough to overcome Disney. And if you want on a spec basis, the rumor mill has that Sprint and T-Mobile, they're back at the altar, and they may be announcing finally a deal. The cellular telephone market is saturated. And what is not yet saturated is the Internet of Things. But that's not AT&T. They're not a producer of a product. They provide a conduit. There is not an AT&T or a Time Warner cell phone. They have cell phones and a network, but they provide the pipe, not the product. So, and again, with the redistribution of the telecommunication sector that's going to be happening near term, the reach of Amazon, what I would rather own Amazon, Apple, and Disney versus Time Warner and AT&T.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much.
All right, sir, thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to our next caller. We have Elaine from the North Hills. Elaine, good morning.
Hi. Good morning to you both. I have been disabled a long time. I'm now in my 60s. And watching my family members go through the jumping through hoops for Medicare and nursing home care costs and things like that, I wanted to find out if something should happen to my husband and I would have a choice of my disability or his retirement benefits, would I get the 100% or of his benefits if he were to die? Or are there different percentages?
Okay, there are different percentages. Now, your call is very timely. In this bipartisan budget act that they passed a month ago, there is an act that was buried in here that goes straight to your needs.
Okay.
It's called the Chronic Care Act, and it became law in February. Now, what's going to happen is, particularly for you, a disabled individual, you're going to have opportunities for non-traditional things. Example, grab bars in your home, wheelchair ramps, the things that you need, telehealth care services. That is going to be provided to you now. That's the law of the land. And it's called the Chronic Care Act. Do you wear that act?
No, actually, we just put a new bathroom in and put grab bars in for both of myself for the future. And I just had a stint in the hospital Christmas time and had in-home care, which was relatively good. But I can see how at 62 and a half that you drop through the cracks.
Right.
I also
now,
have older family members. My stepmother's in a nursing home right now. It was supposed to be temporary care, and they were trying to move her over to Medicare because they've drained their finances. And they're having a heck of a time getting approval. So that was my second question.
Yeah. Now, what's going to happen with this? And this act, and Trump didn't get any credit for it. Because what happens is you have to be turned down by Medicare before you can apply for the assistance under Medicaid.
Yes.
And that delay is sometimes as much as 6 to 9 months. All right. The Chronic Care Act ends that.
Oh, no kidding.
And so do you have access to the Internet?
Yes.
All right, Chronic, C-H-R-O-N-I-C, Chronic Care Act. It became law in February. It's part of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018. And the full title is the Creating High-Quality Results and Outcomes Necessary to Improve Chronic Care.
Okay, now one last short question. Do you think that my family member can trust the people at the nursing home who are supposed to be the social workers to help them get over to Medicare because or Medicaid because it just seems like everyone's dragging their feet.
Okay, and that's the problem of the system and not necessarily the issue with the home because of the bureaucracy and the absurdity of the paperwork burden. But you have an excellent protector in the Pennsylvania Department of Aging. And if you feel you're not being serviced well, you make a phone call to those folks, and they will be in the home the next day.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much. That is great help.
All right. But you, please do this. Get on the internet, mm-hmm. the Chronic Care Act, mm-hmm. and, you know, the relief is coming.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank President Trump. He got it in this bill, and he got no credit in the media for this Chronic Care Act. It's amazing.
Okay, thank you, Elaine. Let's go now to Jim from Kennedy. Jim, good morning.
Are you there, Jim? Yes, sir. Good morning.
Question, Jim. I have a money market now with a bank.
Okay.
Now, I understand that the interest I'm getting is 1%. I understand that I can move that money into a federated prime cash obligation, which is a tier one, and receive a higher interest. My question is, would that be a safe move?
Yeah. We use that federated account. We've done an enormous amount of due diligence on it. It is not FDIC insured, but Federated is one of the premier managers in the money market arena, and all of our due diligence, that's the one that we use for our clients and our firm.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye.
We have about a minute before we've got to go to the break, but I wanted to ask you, Jim, a Dollar Bank instant access question. We have a listener who's very satisfied as a leaseholder with Rex Energy, but he's asking if he should be concerned about the talk of Rex filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah, the worst thing that can happen is you get to release your well to somebody else if it's producing, or if they don't develop in the five-year term, or their bankruptcy, there is probably a provision in the lease you've signed for assignable to successors. And the bankruptcy, a reorg in bankruptcy, will provide a successor opportunity. If you're producing revenue, you have a separate ownership interest in this as the landowner. So it's going to be okay.
Well, that's good news, I'm sure. I just want to remind all of our listeners that we have two advisors standing by to take your questions off the air. If you prefer to speak about your own personal situation in more detail, today we have Dave Alderson and Brent Ehrlich, and they can be reached by calling 412-434-0999. We'll be back after the break. That's it for our first hour. We ask our callers to hold on, our listeners to stay tuned. We have another full hour of Heffron Tillotson, Your Money and You, coming up immediately following the news. Also, stay tuned for this week's Ask the Advisor segment featuring Rebecca Nall and her topic, Applying for Financial Aid. If you'd like to sign up for one of our seminars, which address many of the topics we're discussing today, we do have folks in our headquarters office answering the phone lines. That number is 412-434-0999. And you can check our schedule events on the web at heffron.com. That's HEFREN.com. We'll be back after the break.
It's Sunday morning, time for Your Money and You. Now celebrating over a quarter century of broadcast on KDKA. Sponsored by Heffron Tillotson, a Pittsburgh-based full-service brokerage and investment advisory firm with offices in downtown Pittsburgh, Butler, North Hills, South Hills, and Greensburg. Member of FINRA and SIPC. This program is intended to help you keep up to date on matters that affect your savings, investments, taxes, real estate, or anything else related to your money. Interaction with callers of the program must not be construed as a broker-customer relationship.
Good morning. My name is Belinda Slagenhop. Jim Meredith is here to answer all of your questions, so give us a call here in the studio. The number is 866-391-1020. Again, that's 866-391-1020. We also have two Heffron Tillotson advisors standing by off the air to answer any of your questions. Today, our advisors are Dave Alderson and Brent Ehrlich, and they can be reached by calling 412-434-0999. And Heffron Tillotson is pleased to offer a variety of investment seminars throughout the Western Pennsylvania Pennsylvania area. We have the following upcoming seminar scheduled. Are you riding off into the sunset, or do you need a course correction? This is scheduled for April 18th at 5:30 p.m. in the Freeport Area Library. For more information or to register for these and any other seminars, you can visit our website at heffren.com. That's H-E-F-R-E-N.com. Or call toll-free at 888-405-0990. There's no charge for these workshops, but space is limited and reservations are suggested. In addition, you can listen to any of our archived broadcasts through our website or through iTunes. And be sure to connect with us on LinkedIn for company and industry news. Now we go to this week's edition of Ask the Advisor.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Ask the Advisor. My name is Jamie Meredith and I'm joined this morning by Becky Now. Becky is the Assistant Director of Heffern Tillotson's Financial Planning Department. She's also a certified financial planning practitioner. Good morning, Becky. Welcome to the show. What are we talking about today?
Good morning, Jamie. I'm excited to be here today. I'm going to talk about some of the basics of applying for financial aid for college expenses. And I know that this will be especially relevant for you since you'll be going through this process pretty soon.
Pretty soon, definitely. I am all ears. What kind of financial aid is out there?
Well, there's merit-based and then there's need-based financial aid.
Okay.
So aid that's based on merit is usually received from the school as a scholarship for academic or athletic achievements.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'll be talking more about aid that's based on the student's financial need. So that's grants, loans, work-study opportunities, and those are mostly provided by the government.
Okay. So how much financial aid can, you know, a typical student expect to receive?
Well, that's determined when the student or their parents fill out the FAFSA. That's
okay.
The free application for federal student aid. It asks for detailed information about the family's financial situation and then uses that to come up with the expected family contribution, or EFC.
Okay.
So when you take the cost of attending the school and subtract the EFC, that's how much is considered the student's financial need.
Oh, well, that makes sense. So how is the EFC determined?
So the formula is pretty complicated, but basically they add up 47% of the parent's income and 5.6% of the parent's assets, and then they also add 50% of the student's income and 20% of the student's assets.
Okay.
Now, some assets are excluded, such as home equity and retirement accounts.
So I know 529 savings plans are a very popular vehicle. We recommend them to our listeners, to our clients, to save for college. Will those accounts affect a student's ability to get financial aid?
Yes. So 529 savings plans do have an effect on the EFC calculation and therefore on the student's financial aid eligibility. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be used.
Right.
Since a parent's 529 plan is considered a parental asset, only 5.6% of that account will be included in the EFC calculation.
Okay.
Also, most financial aid is awarded in the form of student loans, which have to be paid back with interest.
Okay.
So it's much better to be able to pay for some of the expenses out of pocket.
Wow, that's good point. So, Becky, how can Heffern Tillotson help with someone who will be sending a child to college, whether it's 10 years from now or 10 months from now?
Well, our financial advisors are helping parents save for college all the time. Sometimes we start right after a child is born. We're also here to answer any questions that arise. We definitely didn't cover everything here today. So if someone wants to speak with a financial advisor, they can call Heffern Tillotson at 412-434-0990.
Well, Becky Now, great information. Thank you for joining us today.
All right. Thank you, Jamie.
It's Your Money and You, sponsored by Heffern Tillotson, celebrating over a quarter of a century of broadcast exclusively on KDKA.
Welcome back to Heffern Tillotson's Your Money and You on News Radio 1020 KDKA. We have a number of phone lines available, so give us a call here in the studio. The number is 866-391-1020. Again, that's 866-391-1020. Jim, let's get right to the phones. We have Keith from South Hills. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yes, we own a home in the Southern Keys of Florida, and the home is held in our trust.
Okay.
Hurricane Irma went right over top of us last year. We did sustain some damage. I also own a property that I had sold in the trust. My question is, can I take the certified damage reports I got from appraisers and put that against the gain that I made on the property that I sold in the trust? We are self-insured, so we'll be receiving no insurance claim.
Wow, yours is a good question, and let me give you the answer.
Okay.
You're dealing with an above-the-line and a below-the-line situation. Now, what you have is, when was the property sold?
I held the property property that I sold was sold in it was sold in April of last year, 2017,
right.
And I held the property for 2 years.
All right, so we have a 2017 event on both sides.
Right, that's correct, yeah.
Okay, now, what you have is a catastrophic loss on your uninsured damage to the, was this a residence or a rental?
It is a residence, and it is our primary residence.
Okay, all right. Now, so what you have is a catastrophic loss. Now, in 2017, that's going to be treated as a miscellaneous itemized deduction.
Okay.
All right, and yeah, you got a lot of work to do. I would suggest you consider extending your 17 return or amending if you filed.
I already extended it for the first time in my life due to
okay.
the situation.
Yeah, that's okay. Now, what you have to do is you have a catastrophic loss that will be treated as a miscellaneous itemized deduction.
Okay.
Now, the advantage you have is, everybody is pretty much aware of the devastation that the hurricane hit in the Keys. So what you need to do is, do you have access to the Internet?
Oh, sure do, yes.
All right, irs.gov.
Okay.
And on the home page in the upper right-hand corner, there is a search box.
Right.
And what you want to take, just type in the search box, catastrophic loss.
Okay.
And it will take you to the instruction section. Now, you're going to have to document that loss, and it will tell you what your paperwork is you have to provide to do this. Now, it will not directly offset dollar for dollar your gain because the gain is a long-term capital event. Did you depreciate the real estate that you held for resale?
I did not. It was strictly an investment property only.
Okay. All right. That's good that you didn't because then you're going to have a cleaner reporting. You won't have any recapture. And so that's above the line. That'll be reported on probably a schedule 4797 and then carried over into a D. Boy, it's been a long time since I've done this work. and there's one other schedule that you may have to do on the real estate. But what you have is a 12 code section 1250 gain. And then you have to report that, and that's above the line. So that is added into your adjusted gross income, that gain.
Okay.
The catastrophic loss is added to your itemized deductions.
And okay. I think that's Form 4684, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know the form number, but what you can do on the IRS.gov, go in either hurricane loss or, catastrophic hurricane loss, and they'll have tons of instruction there for you.
Okay. Well, it sounds like I have some homework to do.
You got nothing else to do today. It's going to rain, so.
Well, I'm in the Florida Keys right now.
Oh, okay. Well, it's always sunny down there. And, I was reading about the Florida Keys just as a point of interest. Who's the margarita? Jimmy Buffett.
Yes, Jimmy
is
Buffett.
Building a $1 billion development down in the Keys, and they're going to call it Margaritaville.
Yep, I've read about it, and he's a very popular man down here.
Yeah, well, he set the lifestyle for you.
He did, and I'm following it pretty closely.
All right, well, thank you for calling from Florida, and we envy your sunshine down there.
Well, and I'll be back in Pittsburgh in 2 weeks, so the sunshine hope will be there.
All right, well, bring it back with you, please.
I'll do that. Thank
all
you.
All right, sir, thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Let's go now to Ron from Shadyside.
Wow, it's been a long time since I did tax return line by line and stuff.
Ron, good morning.
Good morning, and how about you?
All right, sir, thank you.
Okay, I was just wondering, Jim, you were talking about AT&T with that merger. What do you think of AT&T and Verizon as communications companies for the future?
They're being treated as a bond proxy. They have reached saturation. There may be 0.01% of the population in the country that wants a cell phone that doesn't have a cell phone.
I believe it.
And the copper wire business is gone. And so what they're doing is it's almost like a utility now that they have a stable dividend, high credit quality, but the future return is not going to be a whole lot more than the dividend.
And you think dividends are going to be steady?
Yeah, I think both dividends are relatively secure. They're by no means guaranteed, but they're okay as far as the dividend, but
yeah,
I see
5-6% in that range,
right? And but there's little upside growth,
right,
for both companies because of this, and that's one of the reasons that AT&T is looking to merge to try and broaden the base for other alternative revenue streams.
Well, that sounds interesting. I appreciate your expertise.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Let's go now to Bonnie from Monroeville. Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I would just like to know what you think about the health of the ETF SDY.
Okay. SDY is the dividend growers in the S&P 500 index. They're called the dividend aristocrats.
Correct.
And to get into that club, generally you have to be raising dividends for a period of 25 years on a consistent basis. Historically, dividend growers have always done well. Now, they did not do well on a comparative basis in this index. Well, they did okay, but they, if you take a look at a 30-year horizon, SDY outperforms SPY, that's the S&P 500 index, because of the growing dividend emphasis. In the binging that we had, that is beginning to slow down now, almost panic buying of the S&P 500 index, it outperformed. But one thing I always tell my clients, you can't fake a dividend. If the check clears, you made that money. And so dividend growers, if you look at any 20-year period of time in the market, SDY will outperform SPY. And so now what you may want to take a look at, is this something you own or something you're looking to buy?
Something I own, but a very small percentage
okay.
of my portfolio.
All right. Then I would say, stay there. But if you want to take a look at dividend activity, take a look at the European market. Their dividend yields are about 50% higher than ours. On a cycle basis, macroeconomic, they're about 2 years behind us. And so the price-earnings ratios, et cetera, the major caps in the non-U.S. Are pretty favorably advantaged on a price and yield basis to the U.S. market.
Okay.
But to answer your question, I would ISDY is, I put that in the category of invest and forget. What are you doing with your dividends? Reinvesting or taking?
Reinvesting.
Okay. You're going to be fine.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Bonnie. Jim, we have a Dollar Bank Instant Access question from a listener. His name is Rich, and he has about $20,000 in cash in a Roth that he wants to invest. The total account value is about $30,000. He's 35, and he's got about $350,000 in his 401k. Because of the tax advantages of the Roth, he wants to be aggressive with the growth in the Roth. So he's asking if you would what you would recommend he buy now with the $20,000.
I would take a look at the emerging markets. The demographics for a 35-year are compelling. And do not do it through an index fund. Do not do it in individual securities. But what you're taking a look at is, presuming his initial distribution is 20 years away, 25 years away. The emerging markets are where you have to be. The demographics, the competitive rate of growth, etc. Take a look. There were very successful managers in that area. The American funds do very well. MFS does very well. And don't go into an index.
Okay, Jimmy also asks, what would you recommend for money that he has sitting on the sidelines in those types of accounts that he's holding in cash until he has the opportunity to buy another investment? So he's saying, what's a good investment vehicle for holding that cash?
Right now, and we had a call on the money markets in the first hour, right now money market yields are going to be going up, but there is a contrast between liquidity and yield. And you can't have both. Not yet. In 6-9 months from now, yields will be above 1%, but there is no 6% safe place to put money in the market. You're dealing at best now 1%.
Yeah, and we're seeing those jumped up pretty quickly here over the last several weeks.
Yeah, they're moving up, and it'll take time.
Okay, very good. Well, we appreciate that question. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Following program is brought to you by Heffron Tillotson.
Money and You, sponsored by Heffron Tillotson, celebrating over a quarter of a century of broadcasts exclusively on KDK.
Ray Ballantyne in for Mary Ann Siebert. Belinda Schlagenhop is here, and Jim Meredith back in the air chair. Back to your phone calls in a moment. We have three lines available at 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDK Radio. com. And we just got a text message on the Wright Automotive text line. Best deal in town. Just a couple of moments. Belinda's going to respond to that. Want everyone to know that Heffron Tillotson is pleased to offer a variety of investment seminars throughout the Western Pennsylvania area. They have the following upcoming seminars scheduled. Are you riding off into the sunset, or do you need a course correction? On April the 18th at 5:30 p.m. at the Freeport Area Library and Federal Employee Retirement Considerations. April 25th at 6:30 p.m. at the North Hills office. For more information and to register for these and all their other seminars, please visit their website at heffron.com or call them toll-free at 888-405-0990, 888-405-0990. No charge for these workshops. Space is limited. Reservations are suggested. Don't forget Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. We're going to preview the Pens Flyers Game 3. They're tied at a game apiece. Pirates wrap up their series in Miami tonight. Today, they were winners last night, 1-0. Pirates doing extremely well. Still out in front in the Central Division of the National League. Also going to talk a little RBC Heritage Golf, in which Ian Poulter is your leader by one shot. And we're going to look back at yesterday's blue-gold game, in which the blue was a winner over the gold team at Heinz Field for the University of Pitt Panthers football program, 10-3. So that's all coming up today on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. But right now, back to Belinda and Mr. Meredith and more of Heffron Tillotson, Your Money and You on KDKA Radio. Linda?
Thank you, Rob. And again, the number here in the studio is 866-391-1020. We have lots of phone lines available, so we've got plenty of time here before the end of the show if you've got a question for Jim. And as to the text message that we've received from a listener with questions about their thrift savings plan and a current allocation, we'd like to have some additional information before we can reply. So Jim had suggested that you phone our one of our advisors off the air. We have David Alderson or Brent Ulrich, and you can reach reach either Dave or Brent by calling 412-434-0999. Great question. We just need a little bit more information. So, Jim, let's get back to the phone lines. We have Mark from Cranberry. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I made some transactions last month within my account, and I was doing research on higher-paying dividend stocks, and I was initially looking at KCAP. I don't know the name, so as you discuss these, could you mention them? I only know the symbols. KCAP, AKS, which I know is a steel company, and TWO is what my broker recommended to me after I had mentioned the KCAP and AKS. And I wanted to get your thoughts not only on the KCAP and AKS and in regards to the purchasing of the TWO.
Well, all right. Now, why are you doing this?
Well, I was attracted to the higher paying dividends.
Okay. But you have no idea what it is you own.
Well, I know that KCAP, they lend money to upcoming companies of some sort.
All right.
And AKS, is that Butler Steel? I don't know what it is. Some kind of steel company locally. And they're lower paid stock. They're a lower price stock, so I could buy a lot of shares. And
okay,
so I saw some
You know, let me interrupt.
Go ahead.
You might as well go to the casino.
Okay.
Okay.
Why do you say that?
Because you're gambling. You're not investing. And at least at the casino, they'll give you a free drink. All right. No, sincerely, I've been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And have oversight on about $12 billion of money.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't touch your technique with a 40-foot pole.
Okay.
To do what you're doing, you're gambling, and you're not investing.
Well, Jim, I don't know. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry, but I researched these stocks prior to the purchase, and I saw little fluctuation in the price of the holdings in both KCAP and AKS, and then finally, my broker advised me better stay away from the KCAP and AKS, and we discussed and moved forward with the purchasing of the TWO. And there's little, if you check the past history of these holdings, there's not much movement. In fact, it was up a little bit higher, but now it's down, kind of leveled off. So I thought it was a pretty secured purchase or an investment.
All right. What you're dealing with are what are called business development corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And the underlying asset base is lending to high-risk startups.
Okay.
That sometimes fail. And your debt, your asset is subordinated to other lenders. So if somebody fails, you're at the bottom end of the food chain to get paid. That's why the yields are so high.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a yield buyer and you're attracted by the high yield, I would take a look at high yield mutual funds where your money may be in 1,000 different companies. And right now the high yields have reset. You can probably get a 6.5 to 7 on a current income. Yeah, with a whole lot more security than the individual names you've mentioned.
All right, Jim. Hey, thank you for speaking with me, and I appreciate your time, sir.
All right, good luck.
Thank you, Mark. Jim, let's go to Don from Export. Don, good morning.
Good morning. Jim, I listen or watch Bloomberg in the mornings.
Okay.
They use a term, risk on, risk off, and I've never been watching when they've explained what that is.
Okay. Two things. Very good. And with the, I listen to Bloomberg. I get up around 5 in the morning and if you, you know, Tom Kane is probably one of the most knowledgeable people on the planet. What you have to take a look at is the risk on risk off is defined in two things. Number one, principally, is the put to call ratio, or long and short. And that occurs in futures markets, wherein they can either buy puts or sell calls and or go short or long on an indice. So if people are going short, it's risk off. If they're going long, it's risk on. And the same thing with the puts and the calls. Now, what you're doing is, it's just a general trend. When in the cash market, you can see it in money flow. But that's generally the indicator. And in the research levels that we get in our firm, and other firms like Heffron, you will see the net long and short on a minute by minute. Now, if you want to spend, you know, $2,200 or $2,300 a month, you can get a Bloomberg terminal and see what they're looking at on their broadcasts. But that's generally what it means. And the Bloomberg terminal is probably the best single source of data on a minute-to-minute basis available. But, 30,000 a year, it's generally beyond the scope of the average investor.
Right.
I don't have a Bloomberg terminal. Brian Coble does in our firm. And if I need something, I just say, hey, Brian, because I know where to get it. But is that helping you out?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Let's go to Mike from Pittsburgh. Mike, good morning.
Yes. Jim, I wanted your opinion on Pioneer Natural Resources stock, PXD, a buy, sell, or hold.
Talk to me about International Resources. What does the company do?
Pioneer Natural Resources. I'm sorry.
Natural Resources, Jim.
All right. The Natural Resources, so you're talking about materials or commodities?
Gas and oil.
Okay. I think the gas and oil market is going to go up. And the underlying, we're on a cycle basis. And, I can't comment about that individual. But the energy sector is the most promising for earnings growth in the year 2018. And the expectation is about a 70% rate of growth on energy. The energy is very, 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 very positive globally right now. The production cutback has brought in the expansion of the economy globally. The supply and demand quotient on energy is pretty much in balance. And I've seen price forecast for oil, the $70 to $80 range, and natural gas will tandem up with that. And so, it's a good sector to be in.
Okay. I do have another question. Do you have time for that?
Sure, yeah.
Diversification in a 401k. I have five different mutual funds.
Hold on. What's your horizon before you take your first dollar?
Probably 5-6 years in that neighborhood.
All right. Go ahead.
Voya, Small Cap Opportunity, American Funds, Euro Pacific.
What's your percentage on the small cap?
31%.
All right.
27% on the Euro Pacific. 25% on Voya Growth and Income.
9% on Columbia High Yield Bond and 8% on J.P. Morgan Total Return.
Okay. Right now, you're okay on that large and the small cap. Now, yeah, that degree of concentration in the small cap. The small caps are anticipated to be the biggest benefactor of the tax bill on a percentage basis of income. You're a bit heavy on small caps on the long term. You have a multiple. I would say, the Europac is a premier fund. The total return into J.P. Morgan is okay. The high yield is okay. The combination of small caps, you're a little heavy. I would look to cut that in half after the run that you're just beginning right now. I would really watch your small cap for reallocation. By probably mid-year, end of the year, you're going to want to cut back on that thing.
And that would be more towards the...
The large caps. And just apply, if you cut your small cap in half...
Right.
And just reapply that proportionally among your existing...
Okay.
Now, the only question I have with Avoya, that's a proprietary account. I don't know what your cost structure is on that, but traditionally, Avoya has not been a low-cost provider.
Right.
And you may want to look at some options beyond the proprietary house brand. Voya is probably the TPA, third-party administrator, or they're on that platform. And take a look at your other large-cap opportunities on a cost-structure basis.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's Your Money and You, sponsored by Heffron Tillotson, celebrating over a quarter of a century of broadcasts exclusively on KDKA.
Heffron Tillotson pleased to offer a variety of investment seminars throughout the western Pennsylvania area. They have the following upcoming seminars scheduled. Are you riding off into the sunset, or do you need a course correction? April the 18th at 5:30. At the Freeport Area Library, and Federal Employee Retirement Considerations, April 25th at 6:30 at the North Hills office. For more information and to register for these and all the other upcoming seminars, please visit their website at heffron.com. Call them toll-free at 888-405-0990. No charge for these workshops. Spaces limited and reservations are suggested. Now back to Belinda Schlagenhop and Jim Meredith and more of Heffron Tillotson, Your Money and You on KDK Radio. Belinda?
Thank you, Rob. Let's get right to the phone lines. We have Jerry from Beaver Falls. Jerry, good morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have a question about Dominion Resources.
All right.
It's been one of the core stocks that I've owned back since the days when it was Consolidated Natural Gas. That's how long I've had it. And it's been a pretty steady stock, very good dividend. But 2018 has been a real great year for Dominion Resources. And I was wondering, is this like a phase, or is this like a sea change in what we're going to see from them going forward?
First of all, yours is an excellent question. And utilities have been unloved for about a year. And what's happening is a relative growth of earnings, which is limited. And so they are essentially what's called a bond substitute. And so with this, the earnings on an earnings basis, the entire utility sector is out of favor. Now, their dividend activity is positive.
Yeah, but they raised it just recently.
Yeah, but they kind of get no respect. And so what's happening is the estimated yield is around 5%, which is about average for the sector. But with their location, that is not a big growth area. And energy itself, you know, the carbon-based energy sector is not doing all that well on a total return basis. And, you know, the dividend, I don't know what their dividend payout ratio is, but I think, you know, they could be paying out close to 100% of their earnings in a dividend. And so that's why you're not getting any respect from that. So on a timeliness basis, first of all, I would say your dividend yield is relatively secure. It is by no means guaranteed, but I don't foresee a dividend cut. But they're, you know, they're paying out virtually 100% of their earnings in a dividend. So there's no money left on the table to expand or buy or merge because they're paying it all to you.
Well, I'm 58 years old, and...
You're a young kid.
I know. Sometimes I'm too older, but yeah. If I want to hold this with the idea that I'm going to be using that dividend, you know, for, you know, a base income later on,
I wouldn't do it. No. If you want a dividend grower, take a look at the big banks right now.
Okay.
And what's happening is your yield will be half of what you're getting because the expectation, the banks are handcuffed and shackled, and the regulations are going to be upgraded to allow them to compete more on a global basis. And take a look at some of the big guys, J.P. Morgan, you know, Barron's had a very positive article this weekend on U.S. Bank Corp. And no, your yield is going to be a fraction of what you're getting. But the total return for a 58-year-old, you would have a lot more upside potential on a 10-year horizon in the banking sector than you would in the utility sector.
Well, let me put it this way. Dominion is a part of a very large portfolio. So, I mean, it wouldn't be a thing that, you know, I'm basing my lifestyle around what I'm getting from Dominion.
Okay. Then, what you can do is... Yeah, you can take a look at Dominion-type stocks as the bond substitute on your portfolio. Instead of owning a bond, own the high-dividend stock.
Okay, yeah, because I have other stocks. Like, in the same situation, I have a couple tobacco stocks. You mentioned a couple stocks earlier on, I think, sort of fall under the same category of that. But then I have other vehicles designed for growth.
Okay.
And stock designed for growth.
So, right.
I mean, it's okay to keep it as a part, but I mean, I wouldn't count.
Don't bet the farm on it, but as long as it's on a piece on the shelf, you're going to be okay.
Okay, thank you very much for that call. I want to remind our listeners, we have two advisors standing by off the air to take your questions. Today we have Dave Alderson and Brent Ulrich, and they can be reached by calling 412-434-0999. So we've run out of time. If you have a question for them, be sure to give them a call. We'll be back after this. That wraps up another edition of Heffron Tillotson, Your Money and You. We'd like to thank all of our callers today, and we apologize to those who are unable to get through. We invite you to join us next Sunday and every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 here on News Radio 1020, KDKA. If you had a question and were unable to reach us, please contact our office until noon today at 412-434-0999, and be sure to visit our website at heffron.com. My name is Belinda Slaganhop. On behalf of Heffron Tillotson, Ray Ballantyne in the control booth, and Jim Meredith, we thank you for listening.
Your Money and You is an informational program sponsored by Heffron Tillotson. The information featured is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of finance and investments. The opinions expressed are based on limited knowledge of specific cases as described by the caller and should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. Individual questions of a financial or investment nature should always be referred to your personal financial advisor.